Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Our Matrix server is about as free as internet chat can be. Join the existing rooms or create your own at chat.freetalklive.com.
Exception of joining our Hamps program, which we might tell you about a little bit later on tonight. With you in the studio, it's Ian
Beakless Mountaineer
and the Reverend Captain Kickass.
We've got some money related things to talk about tonight, including the AAA rating that is dropped to a AA rating. What does that mean? Why does it matter? Beakless Mountaineer is going to tell us about that. Whose rating is it?
Did you guys ever see the Mad TV parody spoof skit? You remember Triple X, the movie, Vin Diesel?
Vaguely, I remember it was like sort of a cheesy action movie.
Totally
right?
Cheesy, yeah. Action movie, but like the key line in their trailers for it was, "I live for this S."
Okay.
Right? And so Mad TV did a spoof of that, but it was Will Sasso playing the part of Vin Diesel. And instead of Triple X, it was Triple A. And he was riding around in like a tow truck. And on the back of his neck, he had the tattoo of the Triple A logo. Mm-hmm. And he's like, "I live for this S," as he's towing like a truck out of, you know, harm's way or whatever.
If you want to bring up anything, you can. That is the show. That's what we do here tonight. Coming up also, well, I think we should start with this, Captain. You said it was a really short story about Facebook, which I guess fewer people are using now than ever. Young people have, as I understand it, migrated mostly off of
Facebook.
Yeah, but
this includes Instagram.
Oh, okay. Yeah. There are a lot of people using Instagram.
So whatever, it's Meta's thing. Mm-hmm. Meta has made this decision.
And this is a decision to take down news from a certain, well, entire nationwide audience.
Oh, the Canadians, eh?
Mm-hmm.
What's that all about?
I don't know. You tell me.
From Sue Today, SOOtoday.com. All news in Canada will be removed from Facebook and Instagram within weeks, according to Meta. The company says it's removing news for all Canadian users over the course of the next few weeks. Meta says it's officially moving to end news access for Canadians on its Facebook and Instagram platforms. The company says it's removing news for all Canadian users over the course of the next few weeks. Meta was previously running a test that limited news for up to 5% of its users, and now says it's moving out of the testing phase. This means that links to news articles and other content posted by Canadian publishers and broadcasters will no longer be viewable to people accessing the social media platforms in Canada.
Okay, so it is specifically targeting Canadian broadcasters.
Yes.
Okay.
Canadian publishers and broadcasters is what this article says.
Well, and it sounds like consumers as well.
Well,
so it will no longer be available to those consuming.
Right. So if I go to, you know, a Canadian news website and I see an article that I think is interesting to myself and, you know, whoever's on my Facebook page, for example, and I go, "Oh, I'm going to repost this." Nope. They're not going to allow it.
Right.
Not allowed. Can't repost news links or any. And it says publishers and broadcasters. So I don't know how broad that brush is. What constitutes a publisher? Is it
just
news
have a list,
publishers?
You know, a list of all the Canadian newspapers, all the Canadian television. Of course, CBC is one of the big ones.
Yeah.
It's actually the government-run broadcast.
What about you know, citizen journalists, for example?
That's a good question.
Right? Yeah. Like I know Luke Rutkowski, right? He he never went to school or anything. He just was like, "Okay, I'm a press guy." And, like, you know, filled out a form, got himself a press badge, and, like, okay, now he's the press. So, like, how does that, you know, fly in Canada?
Yeah, anyone, at least in the United States, I don't know about Canada's rules when it comes to freedom of the press, but here in the U.S., you are the press if you say you're the press.
Right.
If you want to be the press, then, you know, you don't have to have a camera. You can. I mean, everybody's got one now if you get a smartphone in your in your pocket. So, you know, you record audio, you want to record video. You've got, you literally have a multimedia press creating machine in your pocket with you at all times. But even if you didn't have that, you could still just make some notes or whatever, and you're still the press. You know, and you probably don't even have to do anything like that. You could just, it's in your head. You witnessed it, so you can talk about it.
Right.
But you ask a good question, Captain. Are they? I imagine they're going to start out with a list of the big media.
Probably like
they're the easy ones.
The Canadian equivalent to like NBC, ABC, CBS.
Yeah, there's some newspapers.
The CBC.
CBC is huge, but there's also some papers in all the big cities. So they'll probably ban all of those, and then maybe anybody that's complaining, you know, about other
like small town newspapers and stuff.
I think they're probably going to think, okay, how likely is this to get me sued? Because all of this is because of a law change, right?
It is. Meta says it's defining such content based on how it's defined in the Liberal government's Online News Act. Now, I didn't look up the Online News Act, so I don't have that in front of me. But that became law earlier this summer. I think we talked about it.
I don't recall
at some point.
Maybe I wasn't here.
Yeah, so they're just probably going to figure out, okay, what is the probability that they will sue us? What is the probability they'll win? And how much is that going to cost us? And they're going to run that and say, okay, take it off or don't.
Father cost us?
This is a good question, though, of what will qualify as news under this law.
Right.
Because, and I don't think it's explained it yet, but under this law, I believe it's similar to what's been proposed in California and some other places in the United States. I don't think any of them have passed as of yet. But under these laws, they're proposing to force Meta, if it continues to offer these news products as just, you know, you put a link in, right? This is what people do on social media. You see a cool story you want to share with people.
Yeah.
You drop it on your update or whatever, your post. You throw it out there and people click on it and whatever.
I mean, heck, we do it almost every broadcast.
Right. Now they're saying that anyone that's sharing news from these qualified news producers, whoever those are, some revenue from Meta will be forced into the pockets of those news producers.
Yeah,
right?
That's
what this is.
It says the move to block news is a response to the bill, which requires tech giants to enter into agreements that compensate Canadian news outlets for content shared or otherwise repurposed on their platforms. And that's the extent of the article. So what if, for example, I go to CBC News?
Mm-hmm. You mean if you were living in Canada?
If I were a Canadian. And I went to CBC News and I read an article, and I didn't post a link, but like I paraphrased the text or even copied like the headline and then gave a summary of the news. Does that count?
I think that wouldn't probably get picked up by their filters, right?
I don't know. Like,
they're looking for links, I think. I don't think they're going to be searching
my
for
guess
the actual
for
copy
the
of the
moment
story.
They've got an algorithm that they're pretty happy with that you know, swipes links, but
What was the Canadian law called? Do you happen to remember?
It's called the...
Because I am curious.
Like Online News Act.
Okay. I'll look it up.
The Online News Act.
Because I suspect...
Much like all laws that end in act, they're usually just that. We're acting.
Yeah, it makes me wonder if there's going to be, you know, what are the arbitrary cutoffs going to be? Is it a news company that is above a certain amount of distribution? Is it anybody that's running a newspaper, no matter how large or small? There's obviously some definition in here as to what qualifies, and it makes me wonder if it's going to be like the big mega corporate people that are going to be the ones that are getting the handouts here, or is it going to be the small newspapers and such as well?
Yeah, well, I mean, because we all know that there's many different levels. There's, you know, nationwide news, then there's, you know, for us at least statewide, for them province-wide or whatever. Then there's like local towns, right? Some towns have their own newspaper or their own television station, that kind of a thing, or radio or whatever. So like, how deep does this thing go? How broad a brush are they painting?
Well, I think it just points out that there is no real separation between the state and the media corporations. I mean, here they are protecting all of the ones that they control, because it is, of course, the big ones that have gotten big because they toe the line when it comes to what the state's narrative is. So all of the ones that have, I mean, it's favor for a favor, right?
Yeah.
So you spent the last 20 or 50 or whatever years saying exactly what we told you to say. Well, we'll get you back by making sure that Facebook has to pay you money for using your stuff.
Yeah.
But it sounds like you're having kind of a Streisand effect level thing on this where, oh, we have to pay for it? Well, we just won't use it then.
That's exactly what's happening in a nutshell, to, you know, perfect summary. But it's, I mean, way too close to home for me, right? I mean, Canada is just up there, eh?
Well, and it's getting a little closer as well, because as I said, California was also looking at a very similar story. In fact, June 1st, this is a report from CBSNews.com, Facebook parent Meta is threatening to ban users in California from sharing news on its website if the state passes a bill that would require online platforms to pay fees to news publishers. So the same exact thing is being proposed there. The bill is...
Califanadia?
There. It is called the California Journalism Preservation Act. And, again, I don't know.
Once again, does the opposite thing of what it, you know.
Right. Yeah.
They're not preserving journalism. They're just cutting it out completely.
Isn't that ironic?
I mean, so I know this is kind of an arbitrary distinction, but no, I actually do draw a line between the Canadian and the American on this one, because in America, in theory, the law states that everyone's the press, that there is no distinction between the press and the ordinary citizen.
Right.
So this idea. In a kingdom, a monarchy like Canada is part of, it's fine. It makes sense to be like, oh, well, the government has approved you as a real member of the press, someone who should be paid attention to. But, I mean, if you're even going to keep up the act as if you care about our freedom of the press in this country, then you have to keep a distinct, you have to make sure there's no distinction between the press and the ordinary person. So if you try to apply this, you end up with one of two things has to happen. Either you are creating a de facto press, an official, state-sponsored, these are the people, this is the Pravda,
right.
Or you simply, you can't post anything that anyone in America does, because they're all part of the press.
Well, and how is it that, I mean, I don't even know that I want to say that, I can kind of understand how that could happen in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
How the hell does it happen in the United States? I don't care if it's California or not. But, like, just the fact that that's even a proposal somewhere in the United States should be disturbing to everybody that lives in the geographic area known as the United States of America.
Meta told in a statement in regards to the California bill, if the Journalism Preservation Act passes, we will be forced to remove news from Facebook and Instagram rather than pay into a slush fund that primarily benefits big out-of-state media companies under the guise of aiding California publishers. This is according to Meta's statement on this issue, which does lead me to, and again, I haven't seen the Canadian requirements as far as what is a quote-unquote eligible news business or journalism business.
So where was Meta, Facebook, Instagram, you know, whatever you want to call these organizations, where were they when, like, the CIA and the FBI were telling them what to and not to publish?
Oh, they were doing
COVID.
Everything they were told.
Where were they holding the line during that particular phase in history?
They weren't. They were doing everything they were told to do by them.
Yeah.
You say during COVID, as if that stopped.
Sure.
I mean, there are stories recently coming out about the Biden administration saying, hey, can you change the algorithm to downplay, like, The Wire or Newswire or whatever that is, and Tommy whoever. Like, we don't like those guys. But, you know, and upplay official sources, authoritative sources.
Yeah. So again, where were they, you know, sort of drawing the line, right? Like, oh, well, the government's going to force us to do a thing. They passed a law that's going to make us pay.
Well, see,
as opposed to, oh, the government's telling us what we can and can't publish and who we should censor.
The difference is, with this, they have to pay. So before, they were just being told what to do as far as, oh, ban this person or restrict this XYZ topic.
Yeah.
Don't
label
this
guy as an extremist.
Yeah,
or
don't
whatever.
Publish the Hunter Biden story, right? They were being given specific instructions from government agencies as to what to do or not to do, and they were going along with it because, well, people do what the government tells them generally. But in this case, it's about revenue. And so now they're putting their foot down. They're saying, oh, we're not going to share our revenue with
these
media companies.
That's what governments do. They need a cut of your action. Like, this shouldn't be surprising to them at all. Like, they've already established a history of doing what government tells them to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did they really think that they weren't coming for a portion of their revenue?
Well, this one they can walk away from. This one they can put their foot down, because remember, this revenue isn't going to the government. This is a bill, at least in Canada, and I'm sure the California one's written very similarly, because it's all a similar concept, where they are forced to negotiate If they're going to have news on their platform, they are then forced to negotiate contracts with each and every one of these news companies. So
right.
they have to have some sort of an agreement in place within a certain time frame to say, okay, well, if you're going to be posting on our platform, we are going to give you this amount of revenue because the Canadian government is making us. Instead, they're just saying, you know what, we don't want to deal with that hassle, and we certainly don't want to give them the revenue, so we're just going
to
walk away
but
from
But to
news.
Say no revenue is going to the government, I think is, I mean, not
well,
directly
they're
from
paying income
from
tax
Facebook,
or whatever,
right?
Corporate tax.
Right, right, but like the government is going to have to create some sort of a Department of Enforcement mm-hmm. of social
oh, yeah.
media
sure.
news or whatever, right?
Almost certainly.
And so that's going to cost something. Who's going to
pay
for
that? Canadian taxpayers will foot the bill for that.
Of course they will.
So if this passes in California, I wonder if Facebook will start getting really specific about DNS servers. Because like right now, they'll do different enforcements based on whether this is coming out of the U.S. or coming out of Brazil or whatever.
Yeah.
Will they start doing that for state by state at this point?
They could.
Or, like, the nightmare scenario here is that you end up where there's just this complete chilling effect through the entire country. So that, oh, sorry, you're a U.S. user. We've got to make sure that you are following the California laws. We don't want to get sued by Californian companies.
Well, and for the moment, anyway, if the Canadian one passed, well, it sounds like the Canadian one's already passed.
It's done deal,
and they're
yeah.
just
yeah.
going to do this now. They're just going to strip the news from all Canadian users. If you're in Canada, by the way, or you're Canadian or you're going to Canada and you want to get around this, VPN is your friend. And that's, you know, the way to get around this for the moment. You could choose a VPN that's like in the United States, for example, and then you could go see your Canadian news.
Doesn't the Facebook require some kind of ID these days, or is that not a thing?
No.
I mean, didn't they try to ID you at one
oh,
point?
Oh, they did, yeah, but I fought them hard and I won.
Okay. I was going to say, if your ID's on the record of being Canadian, then maybe it doesn't matter where you're logging in from.
That's true.
I can tell you from personal experience that I've been using VPN, particularly mm-hmm. on my phone. And occasionally I'll hit the Facebook on the web browser because I don't use their app at
right.
all.
Good for you. Screw that.
I mean,
right.
yeah. And I could tell you that when I use a VPN from another city, at least, or another state anyway, that I suddenly get advertisements from that state.
Okay.
So their advertising is at least IP specific,
yeah.
right? So if I choose a VPN from like Texas or something, all of a sudden I'm getting like, you know, Hooters in Texas ads or whatever, that kind of a thing in my Facebook feed. So I know that that's, and then like also if I choose like a foreign country, you know, like, I don't know, the Netherlands or Sweden or something like that, I will get a whole different set of advertisements. And also the way the scrolling changes, like the people and the posts that I see change dramatically depending on what VPN I select. So I can only assume that they're using old school technology. They're identifying your IP address and going, oh, this guy's not in Canada. Mm-hmm. This guy is in Canada. Mm-hmm. And that's how they're limiting this stuff.
Good chance of it.
Well, I wonder if this is going to end up being a much worse and worse enforcement where they go, oh, well, your government has decided this is the news that you need. So this is what we'll show you, not even based on your IP, but based on, like you were saying, you have to show ID to create Facebook profiles at this point. At least that's the last I heard was that
I don't know.
Yeah, to my knowledge, they don't require anything up front. All you need is an email address. You can create a new Facebook page. That's the way Facebook has always been, to my knowledge. Hasn't changed as far as I'm aware. And I actually, whenever they did try and like be like, you need to show identification, they never said that you need to show government ID. They just said that you need to show some sort of ID. So I sent them all the stuff, right? I sent them my ordination, right? Captain Kickass is a ordained minister in the Church of Spiritual Humanism. I sent them, I was a promoter for some shows, so I had backstage passes that says Captain Kickass promoter, backstage pass, right?
Nice.
All this kind of thing. I showed them a press pass, right?
All right.
And Captain Kickass was the press agent. That kind of worked. Well, I had to do some nefarious things, so 100% honesty, what I did is I went to the corporate page of Facebook. I found all of their corporate officers' first and last names from their board of directors all the way into like their CFO, their CEO, their CTO, that kind of stuff.
I'm giving away the secret, Captain.
And I went and I created Facebook pages for each one of them with their names. And then I grabbed a screenshot of their Facebook profile photo and uploaded that. And then I messaged them from the fake Facebook page. So I mentioned, you know, it would be like you getting a message from yourself. You're like, what? And then my story, right? You know, here's what's going on with my account. You guys
just
cut
to get
me
them
off.
To read it.
You guys cut me off. People think I'm dead because, like, I was swooped up in this algorithm where they were trying to, like, eliminate inauthentic names, right? So I got cut out. A whole bunch of, like, drag queens got cut out. A whole bunch of, like, Sioux Indians whose American translations are, like, you know, Jimmy Two Bowls,
right?
That kind of a thing where it's, like, legit names, but like the algorithm was like, that's fake, right? So, you know, I had my story like that. Plus, I went and I found out the email alias of Facebook. So, a lot of corporations will have a set format for their email addresses. So, maybe it's first.last at facebook.com, for example. So, well, I already know the first name and last name of all their corporate people. So, now I can just BCC an email from the email address from my account to all of these people whose addresses, you know, that are new Facebook pages I've created that are fake. And, like, I was just loud, right? I just annoyed the hell out of them for, I don't even know, man, several weeks.
Really?
Yeah. And no resolution. Oh, I mean, it was like daily. I was
every
doing
day.
Something every day. I was doing something.
Okay.
Until they turned me back on. They finally turned my account back on. There was never any conversation. I just kept messaging them.
No one acknowledged
me in any way, shape, or form. But they turned my account back on. Now the weird thing is that I have never been timed out. Knock on wood.
Timed out
on the Facebook. No, never. Like, I posted some super controversial stuff.
Oh, I see.
And nobody has given me, like, the 30-day Facebook jail or whatever. That has never happened thus far yet.
Okay. All right.
on there. But I think it's because, like, I was so loud that they were just like, okay, put a little asterisk next to this guy and just let him go. You know, like, he'll be all right. I think. I don't know. I have no idea what actually happened.
It worked, whatever it was.
But it worked. And so if you find yourself struggling with Facebook, you too may employ some sort of, you know, zany antics as the captain did. I had people, other people who got cut off who were like, how did you get your profile turned back on? And I told them, I explained all this stuff. In even more detail than I've explained to you all here tonight. And they're like, nah, that's too much work. I'm just going to start another one. And so they did. Because, like, what's Facebook going to do? Not let them start a new profile?
Right. So there's a little bit more here. So the one in California would require Meta to pay eligible media companies, quote-unquote, usage fees based on a percentage of the ad revenue its platforms generate. For their part, publishers that receive the fees would be required, supposedly, to use at least 70% of that money to pay their staff. California Assemblymember Buffy Wicks, who sponsored the Journalism Preservation Act, said the legislation would help sustain local news operations, noting that more than 100 media players in the state have folded in the past 10 years. So there's your acknowledgement that this is their plan to save old media, to save print media, for instance, by literally forcing the social media companies to subsidize them. There's more coming up.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Do the letters IRS give you anxiety? I'm Dan Pilla. I've defended people from the IRS for more than 40 years. My book, How to Get Tax Amnesty, created the tax resolution industry and is responsible for helping hundreds of thousands of people. It can help you too. If you're a non-filer or facing IRS enforcement right now, your case is unique. You need real help, not cookie cutter advice. My clients get my personal attention. Buy my book at danpilla.com and get a free consultation directly with me. That's danpilla.com. Let's start solving your tax problem right now.
USA News Update. A judge has refused to grant a delay to former President Trump's lawyers. His legal team has a Monday deadline for a protective order request from Special Counsel Jack Smith in connection to an indictment for attempting to overturn the 2020 election. Two Florida police officers are expected to recover after they were shot during a traffic stop Friday night. Orlando police say the officers stopped a vehicle that had been carjacked. The suspect was killed in gunfire by police. Philadelphia Eagles offensive lineman Josh Sills has been found not guilty on charges of first-degree rape and kidnapping. The team released a statement that Sills is back on the team's active roster. At the movies, Barbie will win in its third weekend since being released. It's expected to top $450 million domestically. I'm Jerry Barmash, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
We still do email. Drop your email address in the entry box at freetalklive.com, and you'll be kept in the loop with Free Talk Live.
Yeah, it's Free Talk Live, and you can join the show here. We're talking about the state of the news business, which is pretty sorry. And you know what? They deserve it. Because,
look, if it's useful, people will buy it.
Yeah.
The market dictates these things. And so if Canadian newspapers are having a hard time.
They're all having a hard
making
time.
Making ends meet. Well, maybe you should, like, adapt.
Well, and you know? We know that people don't trust. I presume this is true in Canada as well. But in the U.S., a lot of people have grown to distrust the mainstream media publications out there, the television news.
As well they should.
The radio, you know, mainstream media stuff is questionable to a lot of folks. And like you said, it's about damn time that people were starting to question what they're being told. And so if they're questioning it, they're less likely to pay for it, that's for sure. And so, of course, newspapers, it's been sort of like this perfect storm of destruction for them where, one, they're dealing with internet competition they never had to deal with before. That used to be that they were the king of their geographic dominion.
Don't
right?
you know who I am? I'm with the news.
Right. I mean, right. There might have been a news talk station in town to, quote, compete with in some markets. But for the most part, the newspaper was who you turned to until television, you know, came around. So for a while, they had radio and TV to compete with. But it was still like the troika, right? Like the three, they were the dominant. And then all of a sudden, internet comes in. And like we were talking about before, anybody with a smartphone or a notepad can jump into the news competition. And now they literally have thousands of competitors from all over the world, and they can't deal with that. And you kind of touched on this, Captain. These old media companies, they're dinosaurs. Yeah. They are not quick to change. They're slow as molasses at this stuff, and they suck at it when they try it. So when they, so like the New York Times and a lot of these other major print publications have tried to go to a pay model, and it's been a disaster.
The paywalls are just a joke.
Most of them are.
A joke.
Most of them.
Of Potsy-like proportions.
Honestly, I think they're coming to terms with the fact that people are starting to actually grow up, realize that life is complicated and messy. So this idea of, I, the authority, will tell you, the child, what is going on in the real world. This is what is actually happening. I have all the facts. Instead of, things are happening. Here's what it looks like to me. What do you think?
Yeah, well, how about
the conversation, the discovery of reality that adults do?
How about you hire some, you know, journalists with journalistic integrity and let them go at it? Like, just let them go at it, do their job, right? Instead of like, no, we can't print that. That's too racy for our publication.
We don't want to offend the politicians.
Or most of our readers are the X. We don't want to offend them by running an article that offends people of X.
Well, and then you have to pay all those actual journalists for actually reporting the news, like going out and finding information. So, when you could just have the government tell you what's going on and just be a mouthpiece for them.
Some time ago, at least in the United States of America, probably before I was born or just before, so more than 50 years ago now, I guess, the news was just sort of like a public service. That these television stations, it was a loss for them to have the news.
Mm-hmm.
It was not a revenue generator at all. It was just something that they did because they felt like they needed to, you know, get the news out to people.
They wanted you to tune in.
They did want you to tune in, of course, but like it was a financial loss for them to have a news broadcast. And somewhere along the line, you know, somebody discovered, hey, if it bleeds, it leads, and we can, you know, we can get some ad revenue off of this thing. And so now the mainstream media has become as, I don't know what the right word is, as demented as it is currently.
Well, I'm not going to blame advertising for the corruption in news.
Well, I think there is definitely some part to play. So, for example, like how many shows were brought to you by Pfizer?
Mm-hmm.
So I really think to a certain extent they've come full circle on television. So, like, you know, they're called soap operas because it was literally soap companies that would put on programs.
Because all the moms were watching.
Right, to be something interesting and entertaining so that they could get you to watch their commercial.
By Palmolive or Borax or
Johnson & Johnson.
Right, they're in the middle of the show. They'd have the actors turn and be like, but really, what I love is Tide. Have you tried Tide?
Did that really happen?
Yes, absolutely.
You can go watch old clips and stuff.
And news has basically come full circle on that, where like so much of the programming is literally brought to you by Pfizer.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, they're not going to say anything that would ever make Pfizer look bad.
This is true.
And they will absolutely push everything that makes Pfizer an obscene amount of money.
And now all of the mainstream media companies just regurgitate press releases that are fed to them by government.
Right? Oh, yeah.
We've all seen the videos of the exact verbiage from 30 different television broadcasts across the country, 30 different anchormen, 30 different, you know, local news broadcasts, all saying the exact same verbiage, right? Because all they're doing is copying and pasting whatever's fed to them from the federal government into their news broadcast. And that is not news, my friends.
No doubt. Yeah. You guys make a strong argument. I think it's the consolidation that has also driven in this direction because the story you're talking about, Captain, where you see the internet, it's on the video, the internet, where there's clip after clip after clip of different brands, at least on their face. So like CBS News, Fox News,
NBC,
different brands
ABC.
Using the same script. What it turned out was that was all still the same company.
Mm-hmm.
It was Sinclair, I think it was, in that case, and they own these different affiliates in different in different areas. So it wasn't as though every Fox station had that same script across the country. It was just every Sinclair-owned Fox station. But it still looks bad, right?
But there's only like what, six companies that own everything in
something
the United States?
That. I mean, that's a little overblown, but that's not true when it comes to radio, for instance. There's a lot
more anymore, anyway.
There's a lot more
independent. Well, on radio, it's all been going in the opposite direction. Like, it was, there was definitely a time I remember very clearly that currently iHeart Media, but at the time
Clear Channel,
was just running around gobbling up all of the local...
vacuum cleaner right now.
Yeah, they were just hoovering up one one
and that
company
has reversed.
After another,
yep.
And now it's gone the other direction.
Because of the debt that they incurred. They bought up a ton of stations in the late 1990s, and then later in the aughts, station prices started to go down, and they had bought these things at their peak, essentially, so they can't pay the debt payments on this huge amount of stations they bought, so they've been having to sell them off. So yes, you're right. Mm-hmm. Radio has gone in sort of the opposite direction. Television, on the other hand, I don't think... is the case. They've just consolidated and...
Well, television's been kind of a different thing, though, because their primary competition is Netflix and Hulu and YouTube.
Yep, that is true. Well, I'm just talking about, like, the local stations, right? Mm-hmm. Like, how many... Do you guys ever see Weird Al's UHF back in the day?
Movie. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You've never seen
Surprise!
UHF.
Surprise!
You gotta see that. It's like a classic 1980s sketch comedy.
How have you not seen UHF? Oh, my gosh.
It's a mandatory.
You know, some of us don't automatically watch something just because it has Weird Al in it.
Do you like Weird Al?
Yeah.
Okay, you got to see it.
I had the utmost respect for you people. But you've lost at least one respect man
goes.
I recently I was drinking with a friend of mine at a bar, and I haven't seen an actual television broadcast. I don't even know. Like, I don't watch actual
news
TV. Yeah. And, like, the news was on. It was, like, some station out of Boston or something. And it was, like, whatever, channel, I don't even remember the channel number, 7, whatever. And it was the local news. And it was just fear. The volume was off, so I couldn't hear anything. All I could see was the visuals.
The headlines, yeah.
And the little trailer running across the bottom, the little ticker
the
thing.
And then they call that.
Yeah, and all that kind of thing. And then, like, you know, the shots of the news, the broadcasters, the anchor people.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just fear, fear, fear. The colors, like, that they used for this stuff were all, like, aggressive reds and yellows and stuff like that. And then when, like, they showed police, for example, they were all, like, pastel colors. A light blue and, you know, all very happy and, you know, and then back to fear, fear, fear again, right? It just visually, I'm like, oh, my God. I am so glad that I have killed my television, so to speak.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still watch television programs, right? But I download these things.
Right.
I watch them commercial-free. I watch them ad-free, news-free, all that kind of stuff. And if you don't do that, you're doing yourself a disservice,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Fed propaganda. I mean, you're even getting fed propaganda within some of these shows.
Absolutely, I am. But
at least you know what you're getting into.
And I'm also engaging these programs on purpose, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to
you're
turning
passively,
the box
right.
on and just allowing it to feed me constantly.
Programming.
Literally programming. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Join the show here if you want to weigh in. The number is 603-283-6160. So just to jump back to the story about the what we started with was Canada has passed this law that is going to mandate that media social media companies will have to, if they are going to continue to allow their users to experience Canadian news on their platforms, they're going to have to give revenue to the Canadian news companies. That's a done deal. Now, it's not done in California. Yeah, and that's why Facebook is going to pull out from Canada, at least as far as news posts are concerned. If you're a Canadian user, say goodbye to seeing any Canadian news on
Facebook
your news
and Instagram. I just want to say
Instagram.
That repeatedly
that,
so that our listeners know that, like, because a lot of people have, you know, sort of left Facebook, but Instagram is still huge.
But I just want to make it clear that this is being proposed in some parts of the United States. I think there might be a nationwide proposal in Congress. I don't know. It probably didn't go anywhere.
But WhatsApp is still safe, right?
Well, that's also Facebook, right?
My question is, what is X going to do?
That's another good question. I suspect
X don't give it to you.
I suspect they're not going to want to pay either. They're not going to want to cut all these deals with all these media companies. But here's the thing. So California had a similar bill. It, however, did not move forward this year. It has essentially been tabled until 2024. So it's not gone. It's just, we need to study this for longer or whatever and, you know, cut deals behind the scenes with the news companies or whatever. But I thought that the statements from one of the sponsors of the bill, particularly revealing this Buffy Wicks, who was the sponsor of the Journalism Prevention Act. Sorry, Preservation Act. Maybe that was
a little Freudian slip there.
Yeah, because as we've learned, what this is actually doing is it's going to harm the media companies they're supposed to help by not even allowing them to have exposure on one of the most active social media websites out there. She says, As news consumption has moved online, community news outlets have been downsized and are closing at an alarming rate, she says. So this is her plan to try to save, quote unquote, local media. Now, as Meta pointed out, this is actually going to benefit the big corporate players more so than the local media people. But she's not wrong that old media has been dying off.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when it comes to print old media.
So the real question that people should be asking themselves, particularly if you're Canadian or Californian, is why does government think old media is worth saving?
Because it's easily controlled.
Mm-hmm.
They already know all the editors and the owners. They have them in their pocket and vice versa. It's the old boys club. And they don't like having the internet competitors mm-hmm. jumping into the game.
And importantly, it's still somewhat trusted by people. I mean, sure, it's lost a lot of its trust. I mean, you know, mostly from, like, lying us into a disastrous, never-ending Middle Eastern war, for
example. I was there!
Right?
Was that Brian?
Oh, yeah. Being shot at in the helicopter. Right. Anyway, they still haven't lost all of their credibility. So these you know, failing media giants still have some credibility left at the bottom of the barrel, and they're completely controlled by government. So, of course, they're going to be propped up by government.
Exactly.
So that they can keep their controlled media and hold on to whatever little scrap of believability they have in their narrative.
You know what was a surprise to me, and this was years ago, here in New Hampshire, there was an Upper Valley newspaper, and I'm sorry, I don't remember which town. I think it might have been like Charlestown or mm-hmm. something like that. A little town in New Hampshire, somewhere north of where we are here in Keene, and their paper was failing. It was going to go out of business, and the state came in and literally rescued this paper.
The state of New Hampshire?
The state of New Hampshire actually rescued this paper. And the excuse was...
What do you mean by rescue?
Like, somehow kept it alive. Somehow pumped some money into it to keep them alive. I don't know if they're still alive, because, again, this was, like, years ago. I'll have to try to figure out which one it was and see what's going on. But they pumped some taxpayer money into this newspaper on the excuse that, oh, well, all these old laws that we have require that you post a public notice, right? Like, if you're going to, open a business or whatever it is, there's certain things that you've got to post a public notice in the classified section of the local paper of renown or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And so if the paper goes out of business, like when they wrote these
there's
laws...
There's no paper of record for New Hampshire!
That's it.
You
could
just print something out and pin it up to the bulletin board, actual physical bulletin board in your local library.
That's true. That actually usually is an option for public notice.
Or the post office or your town clerk.
But that was one of the excuses that they used. And, of course, the other excuse is, well, we'll lose our local news, you know?
I just thought about something. What happens to these media companies, these news companies, to their Facebook pages or Instagram pages if they have them?
I guess they just can't post anything newsy to them anymore.
Like, I mean, do they cut them off? Do they?
I don't know. It's a good question.
You know, because you know they have them. I can go to the Facebook page of any, you know, news company, right, or any local television station that has one channel, seven channel. I don't even know the channels around.
Well, are they going to be prohibited from posting the news, or only that the viewers in Canada are prohibited from seeing their posts?
Well, that's a good question.
Well, another possibility for all of this is that they just turn off the advertisers. So, okay, you are whichever, you know, recognized official Canadian presser, and you have a Facebook page. Okay, well, we just won't advertise on your Facebook page. That way we don't have to pay you any money from your page.
So I have a story I've been sitting on for a few months. It's about the consolidation within the newspaper business.
What are you, like a chicken hatching something? You've been sitting on it for months?
Hold on to something for the right time. And this seems like the right time at this. Have you guys ever heard
of news stories?
Have you ever heard of the news company?
Is that papering your nest?
That's about all this stuff is good for these days, these newspapers. But Gannett, y'all heard of Gannett?
G-A-N-N-E-T.
Yeah, T-T, two T's.
Oh, sorry.
They are the largest newspaper chain in the United States. And the story from Joshua Benton at NeimanLab.org, he says they should wake up each morning at Gannett, thankful for the existence of number two, Alden Global Capital, which is the number two newspaper company. After all, who could ask for a better point of comparison? Alden is the perfect industry villain, a faceless private equity fund dedicated to nothing but cost-cutting and cash flow draining. Its corporate website contains a total of 21 words, 9 of which are Alden, Global, or Capital. It's run by a secretive billionaire who last gave an interview in the 1980s, the sort of person who can own 15 mansions in Palm Beach and still think, I could really use a 16th. It's the type of company that inspires debate over whether vulturous is too kind of an adjective. If you're writing an Atlantic cover story on who killed America's newspapers, Alden Global Capital will hand you the murder weapon, already dusted for prints. Gannett, meanwhile, is at least a newspaper company, one more than a century old. It's rarely been considered a particularly good one, mind you. Its reputation for cheapness and cookie-cutter products go back decades. As the New York Times described it in 1986, quote, a chain of mostly small and undistinguished, though highly profitable, newspapers. But it was at least a familiar name, run by news people with at least some dedication to its civil role in hundreds of communities. When Alden attempted a hostile takeover in 2019, anyone who cared about local news was put in the unfamiliar position of rooting for Gannett. Heck, if you squinted hard enough, Gannett could almost feel like the good guy, if only because people like to believe there is a good guy in their industry somewhere or another. But We're Better Than Alden has its limits as a brand promise, and Gannett's most recent annual report drives home the fact that no company has done more to shrink local journalism than it has in recent years. Let's total up the damage in raw numbers, if not in stories unbroken and facts not uncovered. While Alden failed in its bid to buy Gannett in 2019, it sparked a wave of newspaper industry consolidation that some had foreseen for years. Now, remember, this is before COVID, because things got even worse for newspapers when people weren't even leaving their houses. Within a few months, the two largest paper companies in the U.S., number one, Gannett, and number two, Gatehouse, announced they were merging. The name would remain Gannett, but Gatehouse execs are mostly left in charge. At the end of 2018, the last pre-merger year, the two companies had roughly 24,338 employees in the United States and 27,600 worldwide. Gannett also owns a small group of papers in the UK. The merger closed in mid-November of 2019, by which time, we're talking about 1 year later, they had 25,000 employees worldwide and was diving headlong into a hunt for, quote, inefficiencies. By December of 2019, the combined company was already down to 21,255 employees in the U.S. By the end of 2020, that was down to 18,141. 1 year after that, 13,800. We're talking about major bloodletting,
yep.
Major cost cutting, just
reductions in force, RIF, RIFs.
Cutting to the bone.
Yep. Mm.
It and its most recent SEC filing reports that as of the end of 2022, Gannett had just 11,200 U.S. employees remaining and then only 3,000 overseas. So just a recap, that's from 2018 where they had 24,000 plus in the U.S. and 27,000 worldwide to 3 years later down to 11,200 and 3,000 worldwide.
Yeah, you gotta love how "we're not those guys" is just used as an excuse on every single level. So, like, every time that, for example, we criticize the aid going to the Ukraine defense against Russia, "you must be a pro-Putin apologist."
Yeah.
It's like, no, both of these people can be villainous, blood-soaked monsters.
No, Ukraine is pro-freedom. Everything they do is pro-freedom.
Right.
There was a comedian who did something called the hastily made Cleveland tourism video. It's super hilarious if you ever want to look that up. But at the end of, I think, the part two version of that was, "at least we're not Detroit."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, so this, like, "hey, we're not these guys" right. thing is like such a thing that, like, a comedian is using it in right. his videos.
Mm-hmm. And it's the foundation of American politics. I mean, the biggest upside of being a Democrat is you're not a Republic.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing about being a Republican, you're not a Democrat.
But that's literally what motivates most voters, isn't it? It's like, well, I don't like Trump, but I really don't like Clinton. You know, yeah. I'm not going to vote for Trump because I hate him more than I hate Clinton. I mean, that's the whole thing is what you hear all the time, the justification for yeah. voting for the lesser of the evils.
Yeah. People laugh all the time when I go, "I just don't vote for anyone. I lead myself."
I don't think that's funny. I think it's awesome.
Well, okay, thanks, man. Yeah. But like, you know, that's one of the reasons that I'm here in New Hampshire, right, is because there are a whole bunch of people. There's a community of people who are like, yeah, that doesn't sound funny to me, or you're not crazy for thinking that, or that sounds just fine to me.
So you've already got a newspaper business that has been handicapped for years, losing subscribers. I did a story in 2013 about the Keene Sentinel here in our little Keene, New Hampshire, which still exists, by the way, although they've cut their size down of the paper. They've increased the cost of the paper. They also recently got rid of the Saturday and Sunday editions. Now it's just a weekend edition, so they're not printing 7 days a week.
One paper for the whole weekend.
Correct.
Oh,
correct.
Interesting.
So, you know, they've been cutting costs, but also they've been losing subscribers. And, you know, this is one of those numbers that is very important to a newspaper, right? Like, how many people pick up the newspaper? How many people buy it at the newsstand? How many people subscribe? And then what's the pass-around rate, right? They somehow calculate, they have a third party calculate this stuff. I contacted that third party, the auditor, essentially, and I asked for the numbers from 2013 and from, like, you know, a few years prior to that and the 1990s. And so just looking, and it was down from, like, 20,000 or something subscribers in the 90s to, like, 7,000.
Wow.
This was in 2013. I don't know what it is in 2023, yeah, but I suspect it hasn't grown since that time. So you take the declining subscriber numbers, you can understand why Gannett, this large newspaper company, would want to cut costs, but can you cut your way to success in business generally? You really can.
No, you got to innovate your way to success. That's the biggest misnomer. There's so many companies out there, and I've seen this in tech. 2008, right? The crash of 2008. All the tech companies went, oh, we got to cut people now if we're going to survive this thing.
Right.
The ones that survived didn't do that as much. They went, okay, how do we innovate our way out of this situation? What products are necessary now? If you look at, we'll call it the onset of COVID, or at least the government reaction to it, what tech company grew the most? Zoom. All of a sudden, Zoom was like the number one. We got to have that product.
Sure did.
They were upgrading all of their infrastructure. Mm-hmm. They were, you know, creating more bandwidth, more features, stuff that people needed and wanted because they innovated.
Innovation takes longer, and that's why very few companies do it.
Well, and especially companies that have been around for a long time. They've always done things the same way. They don't like changing. No one likes change, right? And innovation is that, and it's very hard for these old dinosaurs to do. So instead, we get to watch as they fail. There's more coming up.
Attention, your money is now controlled by the U.S. government.
Picture a world where your every purchase is monitored, tracked, and controlled by those in power to suppress the freedoms of those they see fit. Hi, my name is Jason Hansen. I'm a former CIA officer and New York Times bestselling author. And right now, I've become very focused on the impending rollout of the central bank digital currency. This is not a work of fiction. It's a terrifying reality looming on the horizon. But there is a bit of good news. I've partnered with Advantage Gold to offer you a solution. They are specialists in converting your traditional assets, like those inside an IRA or 401k, into tangible assets such as physical gold and silver. Don't allow your money to be controlled. Claim your free gold protection kit from Advantage Gold. Call 800-900-8000, 800-900-8000. That's 800-900-8000.
Advantage Gold is not an investment advisor or a tax advisor.
Call 800-900-8000.
Life can be full of risks. One thing you shouldn't take a risk with ever is your family's health insurance. If you're self-employed or you now need affordable health insurance, you need to make this free call right now and see how the Health Insurance Helpline can help you get it. We specialize in helping the self-employed and people just like you that need affordable health insurance to get it. We have short and long-term health insurance plans, and some even cover dental, vision, and prescription drugs. Don't take a risk with your family's health insurance. It's not worth it. If you're self-employed or now need affordable health insurance, call right now and learn for free how to get it. Listen, affordable health insurance plans for everyone just like you are a free phone call away. So give us a shout right now.
800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. 800-670-0946. That's 800-670-0946.